We often say we wish more of us could see what frontline workers in the war against COVID-19 see. People gasping to breathe, lungs shutting down. Maybe more people would understand how serious COVID-19 can be. But maybe we can hear from someone who's been there. 50-year-old Thomas Steele was healthy, no pre-existing conditions, and working in sales in New Braunfels, Texas, when he contracted COVID-19. He didn't worry much about it. Then it got bad. He was hospitalized in San Antonio. Then it got really bad. He was placed on an ECMO machine, a last-ditch treatment that does the job of a patient's heart or lungs, moving blood and oxygen when their own organs are too weak. He was tethered to that machine for 2 months, and still his condition worsened. His lungs deteriorated so severely that he was transferred to Houston Methodist Hospital, where under the care of Dr. Thomas McGilvery, he got a double lung transplant. Despite all of that, we'll call Thomas Steele one of the lucky ones, because unlike more than 248,000 others, he's alive to tell us. Well, let's listen. He joins us from his rehab facility in Texas. Thomas Steele, welcome.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
How are you feeling?
Doing good. Getting stronger every day as far as that goes. I'm about a month out on the surgery, so getting stronger every day.
And here's your surgeon, Thomas McGilvery. Dr. McGilvery, this is good news for you.
Oh, it's just really a privilege to be part of it. In all of this terrible pandemic, which has been a scourge to the whole world, Mr. Steele's story is one that we can all be joyful about. It's a real victory over this terrible disease.
Yeah, well, and then you in the hospitals, and we want to get more of, you know, what you're seeing in a moment. But Thomas, how did you view the pandemic before you were infected? We know you work in sales at a construction company. You're married, Rhonda, parents of 5 children, 4 still living. What was your sense? Were you wearing a mask? Were you taking precautions?
I was wearing a mask each month after it broke out. We got a lot more cautious as far as that goes. Yeah, definitely wearing a mask. My wife, you know, she would harp on me all the time about washing my hands and, you know, trying to get all that stuff good. Wasn't going out very much. Me and her were very big wine and foodies and stuff, so we like to go to restaurants and vineyards and stuff, but, you know, we'd really slacked that all back a lot. I can say I wasn't convinced myself how serious this was. You know, not seeing it firsthand, wasn't sold on it as well.
You're good to admit that, because, as you know, there are a lot of people who just are like, skeptical about this, and so you had a little of that too. And then there was an office outbreak. You got it, probably gave it to Rhonda. She, it sounds like, had a mild case. What were you feeling as you realized, I'm sick?
Well, originally I went and got a negative test because I went too quickly. And then 2 to 3 days later, I went back. So I was having a little shortness of breath and stuff. And they sent me home. And sitting at home, my daughter, who's studying to be a doctor, she had recommended this little O2 sensor.
This is a pulse oximeter. It's such a great thing to have around the house. You measure how much oxygen you're getting.
And I would suggest everybody get one of them, you know. People don't realize it stuff, but it tells you a lot really quick.
And what it told you is you were not getting enough oxygen. Could you feel that?
I was getting shortness of breath, almost like somebody was sitting on my chest. And so then I was checking this thing, and I went like from 88s to 84s to 85, and I kept getting worse. So I immediately called back to the ER and asked them, and they said, well, if it's that low, you need to come in right now. So then I went back to the hospital, and they immediately said that I needed to go to San Antonio to a bigger hospital, and I should get on ECMO pretty quick.
Right. We've been warned over and over. As you said, you had a little skepticism, but you heard how bad it was. Were you thinking, this can't be happening? I mean, what were you thinking?
Oh, yeah, because you think everybody at work that had it for the 2 weeks. My wife had it for 2 weeks, you know. Like you said, you're thinking, why did this happen to me like this?
Yeah. Can you describe how bad it got, not being able to breathe?
You pretty much are gasping for every breath, and you're thinking about every breath. And every breath you take, you feel like a little clicking back your throat because you're just taking so much oxygen in and stuff. And it's just you're always just like gasping. You're sucking for air.
It must be so frightening.
You know, you have to fight through it and stuff. And I use my kids, my grandkids as motivation, and my beautiful wife. And it's a fight. It is a very, very big fight. That's what I like to tell everybody, you know, open their eyes. This is a real thing. This is not a joke.
Dr. McGilvary, I'm going to bring you in. We know your hospital was hard hit with coronavirus cases. We spoke with CEO Mark Boom, who's also a physician, to your colleague Faisal Masood, who
yes.
told us about the neurological issues he's seeing. And here, lungs. I mean, how bad were Thomas Steele's lungs?
Well, they were totally destroyed. Actually, looking at Mr. Steele's lungs and while we were doing his transplants, they were devastated and destroyed by the effects of the virus.
Why? Can you just briefly explain, like, why would a virus do that?
Well, viruses are nasty little things. They get inside our cells and they turn our own cells against ourselves. And then it's a war that takes place between the virus and our own body. And the body unleashes the full effect of our immune system in an attempt to neutralize and kill the virus. But what happens in some people is that the immune system, in an effort of trying to destroy the virus, destroys our own lungs or other organs.
It's friendly fire.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we understand Thomas isn't alone. I feel I've seen other stories of single and double lung transplants.
The numbers are starting to add up. But I do think that most people who have the kind of damage to the lungs that Mr. Steele had, they don't survive it. But through part miracle, part of just incredible physical and mental and spiritual strength on Mr. Steele's part, he was able to survive it and prevail through it. And then we were fortunate to get a set of lungs offered for him at the right time and got his transplant done very well.
Well, Thomas Steele, I want to bring you back in because, you know, you are lucky in so many ways, including someone else gave this gift, someone who passed. Could you think about that?
Oh, yeah, believe me, it weighs on your mind there, too. So you got this gift of life because somebody had to give life away or get life taken away from them. And that's one thing I would also, one of my preaches now is also organ donors and stuff, because I would never be here unless somebody decided to donate their organs. I'm thinking about their family because, you know, again, it's holiday season and, you know, they're having to be without their loved one as far as that goes. I feel for them as far as that goes.
Well, you know, somebody gave you the gift of breath, you know, the gift of life.
Right, definitely.
And so now you sound like you really want to pass something on here. What do you want to say? We're hearing people are dying in hospitals in South Dakota, and their last words are, this is a hoax. There is no COVID-19. Their last dying words, because they don't believe. And we have Thanksgiving coming up, the holidays. People are thinking, well, what's, you know, get together once. What do you want to say to people?
And that's what I'd say, is just be smart. This is a real thing. This is something you don't want to play with. Take it for somebody who's been in the hospital for over 3 months, you know. It's nothing you want to do. You're nothing you want to go through. I can remember fighting for every breath of air for a couple of weeks period there where you're just gasping for every breath. It's not a joke. It's nothing to play with. It's real and it's serious. And back what you were saying on Thanksgiving, that'd be one of the things that people should be more conscious on this. And when you're having these meetings, you're not only dealing with yourself, you're dealing with children, you're dealing with elderly people that could not do so well with it as far as it goes. So you just don't know who's going to give what to who and when, you know?
Yeah. Thank you so much for taking the time to say that. I know you're still recovering. You know, I mean, I'm taking a deep breath while I speak to you because what a horror not to be able to breathe. And so thank you so much.
Robin, may I just add, as I listened to Mr. Steele tell his story, there's a couple of things that I take away from it. One is, as a community and as a society, we're all interconnected, and that things like wearing a mask protects ourselves and it helps us protect each other. And it's really a small sacrifice to make to keep everybody as safe as we possibly can. It's something that we can do that's positive to help.
Yeah. Dr. Thomas McGilvary, a transplant surgeon at Houston Methodist Hospital, who did the lung transplant, double lung transplant for Thomas Steele, a 50-year-old Texan recovering after contracting COVID-19 this summer. I want to thank you both so much for We need to hear. We need to hear. And thank you. Thank you so much for telling us. Thomas, thank you so much.
Yes, ma'am.
And best to you.
Right, yes, ma'am. Same to you.
Well, thanks, Robin, for bringing this story to light. And Mr. Steele, I tell you, it's great to hear your voice. You're a remarkable person. And I mean, I could tell when I first laid eyes on you, I knew you were a special guy. You have a remarkable family, and I couldn't be happier for you and your whole family.
Thank you so much. I was going to let you know, I think they gave me a release date, I think, of next Monday.
Yeah. But watching you get better is like it's what keeps the rest of us coming to work every day. It truly is.
I appreciate everything you've done for me on it. Like I said, I'm blessed by God and thankful and so much everything Houston Methodist has done for me and y'all have done for me. And again, as bad as experience it is, y'all made it where it's a lot easier.